B61. Number 5A.
We started yesterday with thinking over once again how we started yesterday with the question of how we approach the science of being, the science of Christian Science, and we saw that the beginner, the newcomer, usually has to go through the various stages from physics to metaphysics, and only then really gives a bridge to science. We were discussing the difference between metaphysics and science, that metaphysics is the contemplation of ideas, whereas science is the contemplation of the infinite one, which naturally includes its own ideas, which includes metaphysics. And in order to see what these single steps are, we were contemplating in the study aid in page 58 those steps, and we have gone first the ascending way through metaphysics. And we were considering there four steps that seemed to be imperative, so to say, for the ordered unfoldment. That in the first point, one has to see that not all is physical, but that really the mental realm is also something that has to be taken in account, and that finally one begins to realize that all is mental and not all is physical. That it is all a mental activity. It's an activity of subjective thinking, that what we recognize within our consciousness, that is our world view, and that is the universe we experience. We have there that old saying from Descartes, namely, cogito ergo sum. This is a very well-known Latin expression from the Cartesian theory, namely that cogito means I recognize, I cognize, I think, and therefore I am. He began to see that everything therefore is in the mentality of people, and that only what we take in our mentality is what we experience as our outward world. So when we begin to see that the mental is more important than the physical, then the next question always comes up, all through the thousands and thousands of years came up, that the mental can be good and can be evil. Just think back in the primitive nation, in primitive tribes, where the witch doctor and all those people, the shamans and so on, they know that they can influence people, influence the weather and so on through mental activities, they can use them for good or for evil. It's the same thing that Mrs. Eddy experienced, that when she introduced to her first students Christian Science, she had to introduce it through metaphysics, and the very first thing that she began to experience was that the students applied metaphysics not only for good, but also for evil, for malpractice and malicious animal magnetism. So that second point comes up right away, and therefore if we want to go on and if we want to progress, we must see a third point. That third point here is we must see now what is good. if we can think good and evil, the question rises up, now what is good? How can we see what good is? Do we have any standard according to which we can measure what is good? And so at that point, the textbook comes in, Christian Science comes in, and tells us that only ideas are good, and that ideas are always good. So that if our mentality is aligned with ideas, then we know that we have a good mentality, that we cannot do evil with our thinking, but only good. So the question comes up, how can we know what are ideas that are always good? See, it just goes a little step further. And so we have seen that the textbook gives us an answer by telling us what the ideas of God are, what the ideas of the seven synonymous terms are. When we arrive at that point, we are already on a secure basis, on a definite and secure basis. But then we ask ourselves, well, do I always have to check on my consciousness if my ideas or if my thoughts are aligned to ideas or not? And therefore it becomes quite a heavy, burdensome activity constantly to think with every thought we are thinking, is this now good, is this evil? There must be a solution to that. Mrs. Eddy said, well, this is the method of addition. Why don't you get out of addition into multiplication, into taking in the fullness of the reality of being, and how can we do that? And so we come to the fourth point, where we begin to see that if we would first culture our consciousness in ideas and begin to think in terms of ideas and would culture, say, all the ideas of mind so that they become one tone, mind, that then we would have just one tone, one spiritual tone, mind, which would include all the many characteristics, idea, that define mind. So we said this is then the important study activity. It's more than study, it's then a pondering activity where we sit back and think over what the ideas of mind mean, how they correlate, how they interact, how they demand each other, how there is an intra-relationship between these ideas, and thinking them over and over. It takes perhaps a year or two or three of consistent, consecrated pondering that slowly, little by little, one begins just to have the tone of mind. And one is no more dependent on a whole big list of ideas, because the tonality of it, the spiritual touch of it, has become so natural for us that then we just know when we think about mind what that implies. All the beauty and the grandeur and the realm of the ideas of mind is then included. And so with spirit, and so with soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So that would be the fourth point, that we begin to think then in terms of the synonyms of God, for God. So from point three, in thinking in terms of ideas, there is that big step to point four, thinking in terms of the synonyms for God. And you can see that in our study we can't get around this step. You naturally have made very easy the step one and the step two, But when it comes to the step 3 and 4, there usually the student does not want to go along. He does not want to undergo that strict culture and that strict discipline of aligning our consciousness really with the realm of reality. I don't know why that is so, that one has such an opposition against that, because one can always ask oneself one big question. If I don't think in terms of the synonymous term, then I think wrongly. So why should I not undertake that discipline once and for all to acquaint myself with the seven synonymous terms? If I don't, we will always be in the dreamland, always be in the land of illusions, always in the land where we mix up human thought with ideas, where we mix up the divine and the human and the mortal, and so we will go on living always in that dreamland, just like Cain was living in Nod, in the land of Nod, in the land of illusion of the dreamland. So if one realizes that, I think something wells up in one's consciousness that says, oh golly, this is the most beautiful thing that I can do in my whole life, to study those synonymous terms and to acquaint myself with the ideas of the synonymous term. There is nothing bigger, nothing more important that I can do in my whole life. Whatever I can do besides that is of no importance compared with getting a new consciousness, with making that terrific paradigm shift of thinking in terms of illusions and human thinking and human calculation, and making that shift into structuring our consciousness according to a completely new paradigm. If one keeps the beauty and the grandeur of that in view, if one sees the promise of that whole thing, of such a study, then I think one just can't wait until we find every day time to investigate the synonymous term, to sit back and think about the synonymous term. One feels only then am I living during the day when I do that study. At my time, I had the feeling that I'm not living all through the day when I went to university and had to do what I had to do on a human level. I thought, that's not life. Only life is when I'm back home and can open the textbook and study the synonymous term. Then I'm in the realm of reality. That's the only life. Then I only begin to live in the evening when I do that. And that must be, so to say, the whole impact of our attitude. Then we really are able to face that animal magnetism that wants to prevent us from getting out of the second record of creation, to get out of the land of Nod, and really be like Seth and Enoch that walked with God and he was no more seen. Only in this way we really find a way out of the material, metaphysical, ordinary metaphysical way of things into divine metaphysics, and then afterwards into science itself. So I think one has to be clear what one is doing with one's life. Life is long when one is young. Life is short when one is older. And one begins to realize, now what have I done with my life? Have I really now used this preparatory time, this probational time, really to acquaint myself with reality or not? Because the day of truth comes, where we have to stand on our own and where we have to face to leave this world and to know, what have I? What do I take with me? Am I prepared for another experience, for a higher experience, Or have I to go through the old experience over and over again because I have missed my chance in this preparatory stage here on earth? This is a probationary stage where we really have to make up our minds, where are we going? What is our goal? Are we going really forward spiritually, or are we just trotting along in the same old dream in order to be caught up again in another old dream and have to go through the old thing again and again? Because as a tree falls, so it lies, and as we go asleep, so we will dream on. That's the big problem in life. All the other problems which we have with our business, with our family, with our body are secondary problems. They are of no avail, really. They are so little that they don't matter. The only problem that matters is consciousness. Cogito ergo sum. I realize, therefore I am. What do I realize? Do I realize illusions? Then I am just a bundle of illusions. Or do I realize ideas? Then I am really the identity of being. Then I begin to see reality itself. This is the question in our life. Where are we going? What is important? What is reality? Where, into which balance shall I put all my weight? What shall I do with my life? We can do all sorts of things with our lives. We can have a business. We can be a school teacher. We can be a housewife, if that term is okay in America. I have been told that that is not a good term in America, though I see they do the same thing as in Europe. So whatever we do, you see, is of so minor importance compared with the one and only thing. What is life? And in order to know what is life, we have to know what is mind, divine mind. We have to know the ideas of reality. And therefore, it should be a joy for everyone to go back and go over those synonymous terms in the textbook and study them and acquaint one's consciousness really with that new language, the language of spirit, so that we slowly lose the language of the human mind, yakety and all about many things that don't matter at all. What matters when you are face to face to go away from this earth into a new experience? What matters? Does it matter what you have been yakety all your life long, or does it matter what you have in your consciousness? That's the question. And just always, from time to time, sit back and ask you honestly these big questions, so that we are not running after a lot of gnats, and instead of seeing some big, great categories, the camels, you see, or else we miss always the boat. And that's why mortal mind tells us that, well, then you have to go through the whole experience again and again and again. Well, that's the point here. Are we undertaking really that crucial step of point 3 and 4? If we have once done that, we are, so to say, over the hump. Then the thought is then led over to the other side of the river, namely to science, from metaphysics to science. We cross that bridge, and our consciousness then is no more what we humanly think, but then our consciousness is that what the divine mind knows. So, if we have done that culturing of the tonality of the synonymous term in 4, we can ask ourselves at that point 4 a very tricky question. When I say, now, what is 4? For we have said that we contemplate now the tonality of the synonyms, and where we say, well, Therefore, I identify myself with the synonymous terms, not only with ideas, like in the point three, but with the synonymous term. So we begin, so to say, to feel at one with mind. I begin to say I identify myself with mind, small capital M, and no more with my thinking. I identify myself with spirit, and I identify myself with soul and principle, and I identify myself with life and truth and love. See, no more just with a few ideas, but with that redundancy principle that we find in the synonymous terms. And so I can ask myself, well, what do I actually mean when I say I identify myself with mind and spirit and soul and so on? What is the I that identifies itself with mind? Is that my personal I? You see? So we begin to see that that must be seen correctly. And in order to see that correctly, I come to the point five, where I see that only really the synonym of God in me, in us, can be one with the synonym of God. Can you see? Now we begin to realize that not I am really contemplating mind, and that I am contemplating spirit and soul, but that I is the divine I, is not a personal I, so that we begin to see that actually it is the Spirit of God within us that is aware of the synonymous term. So that we begin to realize that only the synonymous term within me, the mind, that is God, can be one with the mind that is God. So the mind of God is one with the mind of God, meaning that that which is within me is really God itself. The thinking I is God himself, is mind himself, so that we begin to see it's actually mind knowing mind. It's actually spirit knowing spirit. It's actually soul knowing soul. There is no more a personal I within myself. Paul had a very good description of that. Not only did he say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, meaning let that mind which is God be in you. He also said, even so the things of God knoweth no man. So the things of God knoweth no man. If we have said before, I had identified myself with mind, then I must say, well, the I cannot know mind. The personal I cannot know mind. Only the things of God can know mind. So we can see that I begin to realize that only the mind of God is within me, and only the mind that is God knows mind. Only the Spirit of God that is within me can really know spirit. Only like can understand like. So something that is human cannot understand that which is divine. It's not one with the divine. So Paul tells us, therefore, that it must be the Spirit of God within us that can know the things of God. And you can see that at this point we begin to lose that sense of a personal I, that we have an ego of our own, that ego. So that we begin to realize that I can now, at this point, ponder the synonymous term differently than in point four. That I can see that only, I begin to see that only mind, the divine mind, knows mind. That only the divine spirit really can know spirit, therefore be identified with spirit. And only that soul, that is God, can be one and know soul. Nothing else can do it. Can you see that in this way, as I go through it, I begin to see that only the divine principle within me can know the things of God, can know principles, interpretation of itself, that only life God within me, that's the Spirit of God that is within me, that the life that is God within me can experience life, that only the truth, capital T, within me is that Spirit of truth that has dominion, the dominion of truth, that only really the Spirit of God, which is love within me, can really know the plan of love, can really see the goal of love, what love wants to attain and to achieve. And in this way, you begin to ponder that. You know, ponder just that from time to time in the evening for a quarter of an hour, just to culture within you that actually it is God knowing God, mind knowing mind, spirit knowing spirit, that is only going on. It's never we knowing mind, we knowing spirit, we knowing soul, principle, life, truth, and law. Because I think you agree with me that this is, even if it's not expressed verbally, the underlying attitude which we have, that we understand the subject. We here understand the seven synonymous terms. And that must be broken because we have seen science is what? Science is the contemplation of the Infinite One. It's not the contemplation of us. It's a contemplation how mind knows mind, spirit knows spirit, soul knows soul, etc.